Good evening, everyone. Let me just open in prayer, and then I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then we'll start this session on infancy to childhood. And as before I go into this, just sort of think infancy to 5 years old-ish. And so let me open us in prayer. Dear Father, what a privilege it is to be your children, Father, and that you are the perfect Father. And as Dustin put it, Father, we are not perfect parents, but we serve a sovereign, good God who is. Help us, Father, not to measure ourselves against other parents, but, Father, to just turn to you daily in prayer, in your word, not only just for our Christian walk in general, but, Father, tonight, as we specifically apply that to how we parent and shepherd our children, it is a joy, Father, to do that. It is a blessing. Help us to love our kids well, Father, and to model the gospel as we also proclaim it to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Deuteronomy 27:16. Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. And all the people say, Amen. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So it's good to see all of you here tonight. As Dustin said, I know most everyone in the room. Just in case, my name is Kevin Vauder. I'm a lay elder here at Mount Vernon. My wife is Lana, who was already introduced. We have three children. Braden, who is 13, he is our oldest, and he is special needs. Molly is 10, and Reed is 9. And I have been blessed, Lane and I both have been blessed to raise our children here at Mount Vernon. I've been here for quite a long time, 20 plus years, seeing God do a lot of work in our church. And so Lane and I both, as all of you are fallen, sinful parents. But by God's grace, he has saved us, and he has given us the blessing of having these three children. We have struggled at times with balancing having a disabled child with having our other two children, and there's been times we've not done it correctly and not done it right. And I think reflecting back on these years has really been a blessing to me and also eye-opening in just how far we have to go and knowing that only Jesus is our perfect Savior. So just remember as I go in this talk tonight that God is faithful, and all of our parenting, our disciplining our kids, how we shepherd our kids is all meant to have a Godward focus and point our kids to Christ, because the authority that we are to submit to is Christ, and he has given us as parents that God-given authority that we are to enact on our kids, that our kids are to see in us. And so tonight, I'm really going to double-click on a few things that Dustin mentioned in his talk, and I'm going to be pulling really from Shepherding a Child's Heart. I think most of you have either read the book, you know about the book. I had to dust it off. It had been about 12 or 13 years since I'd read it. And so tonight, I'm going to be pulling really from chapters 14 and 15. So if you have the book, those are the two chapters I'm going to be pulling from mostly. And I think it's helpful to note, as Dustin mentioned, we need wisdom, and we don't have that wisdom in and of ourselves. If you're a believer, God has given you the Holy Spirit, and so he's given us the Holy Spirit so we can discern and pray for discernment and wisdom. He's given us his word, and so I want us to start there. And so if you would, there's going to be two primary areas I want us to kind of camp tonight. The Proverbs, so I want us to turn now to Proverbs. And I'm going to read the first seven verses of the book of Proverbs. And I think this is helpful as we really drill down tonight on training up children from these young ages and how we go about training these children at this age. And so I'm going to read Proverbs 1:1-7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So keep a marker in Proverbs, and then we're also going to be in Ephesians 6. So there's the two main areas we're going to be tonight. Dustin said it once, I'll say it at least two or three times tonight, parenting is hard, but parenting is also a joy. And I don't want to discourage, most of you here are parents already, some of you are not. I don't want you to be discouraged, it's hard, but it's so worth it. Children are a gracious gift from God. And so with that, I'm going to lay this out in really four main points tonight. I didn't try to make them all start with a T, but you know, it is Mount Vernon, so we like to have some sort of pattern. But the two first two are basically pulled straight from Ted Tripp's book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. So, and these are going to be the longer sections, and so we're going to end with some application. But training objectives is going to be our first header. Training procedures is our second. And then three, these are really things that Lane and I have seen and experienced in our even really short time of parenting, but also things I've seen as I've taught other kids at Mount Vernon, talked and counseled with other families, and those are temptations in parenting. Both, they're really all internal because it's the heart, but internal and external temptations to avoid. And then finally, four, takeaways or thoughts for reflection, you know, words of encouragement that I hope will be helpful to you, that's been helpful to me. So let's start with the training objectives. I have to say, looking back at this for me, as I said, I've not looked at this book in a while, so rereading those chapters, had to be careful not to, you know, feel just the guilt of, wow, we could have done this a lot better. But we must continue, but I was also reminded, we must continually mind God's word for how to parent. And as we know, not everything, every question that you want answered is specifically in Scripture. But God, through in His wisdom, gives us really all we need to go to Him and how we discipline and raise our children. There's countless good books. We found out tonight, I didn't realize there were millions of blogs. There's countless good articles. There's countless bad articles. There's countless bad books. And there's countless bad blogs. But none of these, however well intended, are God's word. So let's always start there. And I will say, for helpful books, for me at least, I've always found it most helpful when books are chock full of Scripture, you know, versus more opinion. So let's always start with God's word. Okay, training objectives. Since we're talking about young children here, we need to set the tone in our parenting early. We see so much from infancy to age five, especially infancy to two or three, your child changes so much. They change emotionally, intellectually, physically, and spiritually. And spiritually is where I want to camp tonight. Because we can either, as parents, we can either foster our child's love for the Lord or we can ignore it. And I like the way Tripp puts it very soberly. He says, because he is a spiritual creature, he either learns to worship and rely on Jehovah God, or he learns to bow before lesser gods. And so that was very sobering, convicting to me. For sake of time tonight, I'm not going to use illustrations, but if you're familiar with this book, Tripp uses what he calls circle of blessing. And so he basically pulls that from Ephesians 6. So if you want to turn to Ephesians 6, keep a finger in Proverbs. We'll go back there. I want to kind of base this first section really off of Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. So if you turn there, I'm going to read these first four verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we want to point our children to the Lord with our discipline and our training. They need to understand authority. The child must need to know that he or she is under that authority, and that we are to submit to God and his authority and to obey him in all things. And this gives us really a great platform as they get older to share the gospel with them, to model the gospel and say that we ultimately can't, that we need God, we need his help. And so God gives us as parents the earthly authority over our children. At these young ages, something I think that's been particularly hard in looking back for Lana and I, and many of you are probably experiencing this right now, is consistency. You know, when we, and we're going to get more into this, but when we let our children know that we are their authority and we expect certain things of them, we need to be consistent with it. Children are smarter than you think, and they're very manipulative because, shocker, they're born in sin too. But what this really sweet passage in Ephesians shows us is that if we practice this early on and consistently, and we submit to God as we teach our children, that it will yield fruit as they grow older. We've seen some of these patterns with our own kids. So quickly, I'll give you some good and bad. I think some of the patterns by God's grace has been helpful with us as parents is we take the time around the dinner table just to talk. Sometimes it's nothing. And we're going all the way back to, because this is infancy to five, when they were younger, and they would, you know, open up and talk to us. And so we'd establish those patterns, and we still have that to this day around the dinner table. And I'll get more on this later, but we have like a routine that we've set at night with devotions, or not devotions, but really a prayer time, and songs with the kids when we put them to bed. And sometimes it can be a routine, but it's better to have that than not. And so sometimes we have great conversations. So those are patterns we started early, really just a few that have been helpful. There's other patterns that we, I think, in our own way created that we're having to sort of go back now and say, wow, we're having to correct this. It can be something simple, but it's still disobedience. Like, hey, turn off the lights when you leave your room. I feel like I have that conversation every day. And, you know, but really, we've been very slack with that. And so it's been really helpful for me to go back and look and say, you know, it's nothing egregious that the child has done, but they are disobeying us by not doing it. So just a few things like that. So I think it's worth noting here, though, that if the parents are to honor their parents, we must first train him to do so. And secondly, we as parents must be honorable in our conduct. And so more on this later. So when we go back and we relook at that Ephesians passage, you see the promise there, right, that God gives, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And of course, this passage refers back to the fifth commandment in Exodus 20:12. And Tripp uses this passage, as I said, to make a case for the circle of blessing, or you can call it the circle of safety, as he calls it. Because our disciplining, that's a hard word to say, is God's mean to restore our children to the circle of blessing. And he also shows like a circle of danger, which would be anything outside of that. And so we're to be faithful as we do this with our children. And as Dustin helpfully said, but remember, salvation is of the Lord. But we are instructed to walk as God has called us to. And part of that Christian walk is to steward our children and shepherd them well. We can't save our children, but we certainly can be faithful by God's grace to let them know who is the authority and then to discipline them and train them well. I doubt any one of us here would say that we want our children, things to go badly for our children. And I also doubt that anyone here would say they want to be foolish parents, as we saw in the Proverbs. So let our kids know we want safety for them, not danger. All of us, at least older parents, have at least used the example of, you know, don't run in the road because we love you, because if you do, you'll get hit by a car. And I tend to be very drab with those examples to make the point. I'll go, that car will smash you if you run out in front of it. Where kids are like, you know, or if you let go of my hand at the amusement park, you know, you're going to get snatched up by somebody. We'll never see you again. They're like, okay, Dad. And I'm not sure if fear is the way to do it. But the point is we're concerned for their safety. But of our primary concern should be their salvation. And that God would save them, and then that their lives would glorify him. That's our primary concern. So let's turn to another passage. And or you can just, I'll just read Hebrews 12, 5 through 9. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I think that's just a beautiful passage. And I think conversely, we see in verses like I opened with, Deuteronomy 27:16, the curses involved when the opposite is true, when God's authority or his law are ignored. I think this is easy, guys. Just look out at the world around us. I think we see what happens in general when God is ignored and parents aren't submitting to God, and then we see the results in generational just sin. So Tripp rightly notes that outside of the circle of blessing that we see in Ephesians 6, there's difficulty and hardships. And so I think that's just helpful for us to think about. So now what does obedience look like, and how do we call for its consistency? Tripp rightly points out that words like obedience and submission are not popular today. And this book, I think, was written in 1995, I think, and revised in 2005. So if they weren't popular then, they're outright shocking and vile today in this current climate. So obedience and submission. So I helped with my son. I had helped this past season with my son's baseball team. And I don't know other people's hearts, but it's fair to say that most of the parents of the other kids were not believers by the fruit that they bared. And so it was, I shouldn't be appalled, but it was appalling when some of these kids, I would say something to them as a kind of a helping coach, and they would look at me and just kind of, and I was so tempted to say, I am your authority, I'm the adult. And they're like, okay. And I would look over and the parent would hear them and just go, and I was like, what is, you know, what's going on here? Well, I know what's going on here. But parents, though, as Christians, because we have the Holy Spirit, and because we can go to our Father in prayer and be in his word, we can have wisdom on how we are to parent and how we are to expect our children to obey. And so I like Tripp's definition in his book of obedience. He says obedience means more than a child doing what he is told. He states, it means doing what he is told without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. Now, I won't get into every scenario that you may have had with your child here. That takes wisdom and discernment. But I think what it does mean is no means no. That sounds simple enough. I don't think that's always easy. I think Dustin had mentioned that we can sometimes be lazy in our parenting. I know I have, when it's just not convenient to take the time to correct a child at that moment. But no means no. And remember, consistency, if we consistently ignore it, that's going to kind of, they're going to grow in that sort of environment as well. So it should go without saying we need to be consistent with our actions. I know I have said to one of my children, if you don't eat this, you do not get that cookie later. And my child said, okay, Dad. And then 2 hours later, we're all watching a family movie together in a relaxed environment, and they say, Dad, can I have that cookie or have a cookie? And I go, yeah, just one. That's not helpful, and that's not consistent. And so that's one of the areas that Lane and I have, by God's grace, hopefully have gotten better in over the years, but it's definitely an area that was a struggle. So for your child to submit to mom and dad is to show them that we're in submission to a sovereign God rather than to self. Self says, do what you want, when you want, I want what I want. Well, that's the world view, but that's also our heart's view. And so that's selfism. which is really probably the world's major religion. And so there's so much more that could be said here. And there's so much more in these chapters that I can point you to. But for sake of time, I don't want to talk for 2 hours. Neither does Dustin. Won't be talking for 2 hours. So remember, the goal of our parenting is to point our children to Christ, to their need for Him, that we cannot correct them into salvation, but we can model how God loves His own. So let's keep that in mind as we go into training procedures, or the second point. Now, there's only one, if you've read this book, you'll know that the training procedures chapter, you could just call it the spanking chapter. And so that's what I'm going to address during this session as far as like the form of discipline to use here. Now, let me just read first several passages quickly through the Proverbs. You can turn back there if you want, but in Proverbs, I want to read a couple here that address this topic of spanking. Proverbs 13:14, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Some translations say, "or who loves him disciplines him early." Proverbs 22:15, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." Proverbs 23:13-14, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol." And then Proverbs 29:17, "Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart." Many of you know Juan Sanchez, who is a fellow friend and pastor in Texas. In a Nymark's article, he stated about the Proverbs here, "Proverbs helps us see the value of pointing out the joy of obedience, because walking in wisdom brings great blessings. But as any parent soon learns, simply pointing out the blessings of wisdom isn't always enough to fight sin and temptation. When our faith in God and His promises fails, we also need to be reminded of the consequences of sin. Discipline is the consequence to your child of not obeying a parent." So we need to remember that when our child disobeys. The title of the book is Shepherding a Child's Heart. So I think for me, my mind automatically goes back to Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, which we won't go read. We all know it. But if you think about the 23rd Psalm, it's not a psalm about parenting. But you see the shepherd, the good shepherd, leading the sheep by the rod and the staff. And we see, you know, the rod and the staff, he's fighting off the wolves and predators with one, and he's keeping the sheep in line with the other. Why? Because he loves them. And so we as parents, as we shepherd our children, because we love them, we should do the same. And because God gives us the authority to lovingly discipline and care for our children because we love them. I like how Tripp in the previous chapter calls the function of the rod is to communicate rescue. Now think about the circle of blessing we're talking about. And when children disobey, they're leaving that circle of blessing. Well, he uses this the rod as the rescue function. Now as a kid, I would have not thought that was too funny. Or said, "Dad, this doesn't make sense, the rescue function, Dad." But we see God constantly rescuing His people, and in sometimes ways that were hard for them, because He loved them. It's probably fair to say that the idea of spanking, even in Christian circles, is more foreign than it was 30 years ago. And I would just say this to a rhetorical question, why do you think that is? I think one is pretty obvious. I think it's the culture we live in today. Two, sadly, because of people who abuse it and child abuse. And I would say, thirdly, probably because we've not as parents mind Scripture as closely as we should or as often as we should on how we are to parent or discipline our kids. And so I think maybe all three. But yet, if we rightly are disciplining our children with a Godward focus, the hope is by this disciplining them that they will be better to understand the gospel as they get older. So Tripp describes the when, how, and why of spanking this way. He says the when of spanking is when your child has not obeyed without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. Now, I can't tell you how many spankings to give your child. I know for some of us, we feel like we would be spanking all day long. But I think here you do need to pray for discernment and wisdom. Tripp goes back to the circle of safety, And he talks about bringing your child back into the circle and letting them know why. I think that's key when you're sitting down to discipline your child. Let them know why you're doing this. The how of spanking, I'm going to keep brief because the chapter goes into very specifics. But I would say the how, the most important thing I got from this is you must avoid responding in anger. It's just not biblical. We've all done that. I think everyone here has done that. It's a rescue mission. It's for their good. And as an example, as a helpful example, my youngest son years ago had done something to a kid at school. I don't remember. But it's kind of one of those where it's like the obvious one, okay, I need to spank for this. So I came home from work, and which one was good because I was not angry. And I went to another room. Lena said, maybe you want to go into this other room. And I sat with him. We talked. We discussed what he did. He told me he did. And so, you know, I spanked him, and he cried, and I actually cried. And we hugged, and I thought, you know, I was, like, overwhelmed with this is how God intends it to be. It was corrective, and we did it in a way that he was aware of his sin. And I said, this is how God loves. I said, your mommy and daddy sinned too, buddy. And I said, you know, God has shown much grace to us. So I want to show that to you. And this is a thing. We love you. This is why we're doing it. There's bad examples too. I mean, I think any of us can. Just the other day, I think my son did something that wasn't wrong. He didn't disobey, but he did something that scared me for his safety. So I blew up. And I said, how could you do that? Don't fly your drone near the road. A car could hit you, and you know. And then I just really went overboard. He had not done anything wrong. He came back in crying a little bit. And I was convicted that I needed to, at that moment, in front of him, say, your daddy sinned against God and against you. Will you forgive me? That's not the correct way. So when it comes to spanking, you must avoid responding in anger or any sort of discipline. The why of spanking, I enjoyed particularly what Tripp said here. He said, because God commands it. And we just read in Proverbs, and we started this session with reading the first seven verses, why God gave us the Proverbs is for wisdom in our daily living in all aspects of life, and particularly tonight we're talking about parenting. So there's much more I could say here about this, but for sake of time, I want to end this session, or this section rather, with a quote from this gotquestions.org site. That's a helpful little site. And it says, discipline is used to correct and train people to go the right way. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. God's discipline is loving, as should it be between parent and child. Physical discipline should never be used to cause lasting physical harm or pain. Physical punishment should always be followed immediately by comforting the child with assurance that he or she is loved. These moments are the perfect time to teach a child that God disciplines us because he loves us, and that as parents we do the same for our children. So I want to end us tonight really with these last two sections should go by a little more quickly, but some things that I've learned and Lena's learned, and I think some things that have been other brothers and sisters that are older and younger have imparted to us that's been helpful as we've parented our three kids. So I want to first start with the temptations that we may face or will face. For this age group, this isn't as much an issue as what Chad and Brad will be talking about tomorrow, but you can certainly foster this now. Dustin alluded to it, your children being your buddies. They're your children, and we have authority over them. And as they get older, you know, you see this often, it's a temptation to be like, this is my buddy, you know, we're at the concert together, hashtag fun. And, you know, I love to cut up with my kids. I'm a big cut up in that sense, but they need to know that I'm their parent, and so they're not our buddies. Number two, we read this in Ephesians, provoking your children. Don't provoke your children to anger. The word here translated provoke has the sense of exasperating, instigating, or inciting. It's the idea of pushing a child's buttons and getting under their skin. John Calvin says parents mustn't irritate their children by unreasonable severity. And we, of course, know a parallel passage in Colossians 3. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. This is one I have seen, you know, sadly far too often. Don't view your brothers and sisters, don't view your children as burdens. They're a gift from God. Be thankful. Pray that God would give you just a great thankfulness for your kids. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be some days, you know, you just want to trade them off, right? But they're a gift from God. They're not a burden. For this, and I'll talk about the inverse of this in a second, but parenting in a vacuum. Don't try to parent on your own. First of all, as we've talked about, your own personal growth in the Lord, your daily walk with Him in prayer and in the Word is first, so the horizontal, and then think vertically. God has given us the church. I mean, just like tonight. I mean, this is a blessing. I just love seeing everyone here tonight. It's blessing me. And so don't try to parent in a vacuum. Reach out to others. It's okay to get some words that sometimes you don't want to hear, as Dustin said. It's even a good thing. I mentioned this earlier. Don't discipline your child when he has simply done something that's not convenient for you. It needs to be for disobedience. I know that can be easy for us in a daily grind where you're trying to do something, your child's kind of just bugging you, they're not disobeying, you snap at them. That's not helpful. I added this one, not to sound like legalistic, but parents, avoid excessive time on your phone and TV. We can't get these times back, and so just enjoy your time with your kids. And also, I think we're all guilty of it at times, but there's so much you can miss from your children that they're talking to you about when we're just at our phones or on our TVs. So this isn't a list to make you feel guilty. These are just things that I have found that some of these have been challenges for us, and things that I hope you will pray that God will, the Holy Spirit will keep you from giving into. Now, finally, some takeaways and thoughts for reflection. One, create good daily habits with your children. You know, the name habit sounds bad, but habits are just that. You can have bad ones or good ones. We have found it a good thing to just start these routines with our kids. Like at night, like I said earlier, we sing and pray together. Some nights it can certainly feel very routine, but then there's those nights you get a gem where one of your children just asks this really good question, and you dig deeper, and you're like, wow, I didn't know this was even something you had on your mind. And then there's another one I want to talk to about here in a second, but I'll just wait on that one. And also, I think one of the habits that we really enjoyed with our family, one of the few joys during COVID, was Wednesday nights when we couldn't meet as a church. We had a Wednesday night kind of worship time with the kids, and we'd sit in the living room, we'd read a devotion, and then we'd put Christian praise songs on YouTube, which was just an excuse for me to play loud music in the house. So it was a very sweet time. Two, this has been said, and it should go without saying, but pray daily. You know, we should be Christian, we should be praying daily anyway, but pray specifically for your child, for wisdom in parenting, for discernment on how and when to discipline, and pray for a greater love for God. Because I think as parents, we want to be growing in our love for Christ, and that should extend then to our children and how we love and discipline them. This goes alongside of also what Dustin said. God uniquely made your children. If you have more than one child, they're different. God made them different. And so while each one, especially when they're younger, if they disobey, I think should be spanked. As they grow, there's going to be different ways to deal with different children. So we see that in our family between our daughter and our youngest. They're just different. And so just pray for how you go about that. Number four, this one's probably one of the most important I have seen with raising our kids. Let your children see you repent when you sinned against God and them. This is led to some particularly sweet times. It's not always easy. It's hard, the pride in our hearts. I know this has probably been most difficult for me in the years past with our special needs son, who is on, many of you don't know him, but he's cognitively pretty limited. And so he can still really blow up and do things. And there's been times where I reached out to a fellow brother one year, and I said, pray for me, because I just blew up at my oldest son. And he doesn't even know what he did, and it inconvenienced me. And I don't know what he knows, but I repented in front of him and said, I am so sorry that I yelled at you. And then five, lean into the church. This has been, Lena would agree, this has been one of the sweetest blessings of being at Mount Vernon. There's been older brothers and sisters that have really just fed into our marriage and our shepherding our kids. There's been younger brothers that have older kids, like Brad. He always tells me, he lets me know how much older I am than him. That have given us, going back to the Create Good Daily Habits. So Brad doesn't even know this probably, but years ago we were talking to he and Candace, and you know their schedules are more crazy now because their kids are older, and ours are starting to get that way. But he said, so we had a dinner time thing where we, when we could, we just talked through either scripture or something else because we were all together at that one time. That's something that we started doing several years ago, and we're fairly regular with it, and we'll work through a book like The Promises of God or something like that. Again, some nights you're going to have the kids staring off into space. Other nights, really great conversations come up. And so those are the nights that we're like, this is great, because they're getting something here. So in closing, we must remember that only the power of the gospel can give a willing heart and strength to obey. As parents, we must die to self daily as we seek to shepherd our children well. And I thought this quote was really good from Melissa Kruger. She says, as we seek to be wise in the parenting techniques we use, the most important thing we can do is spend time in the Word and prayer, asking God for guidance. He listens, He understands, and He promises to faithfully provide all the wisdom we need. James 1:5, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. May we seek Him, asking Him to be at work in our children's hearts. Let's pray. Dear Father, it is a weighty task to be a parent, but it is such a blessing, Father, and You haven't just left us stranded. You've given us Your Word. We have Your Holy Spirit, and so, Father, I pray that we would take the benefit of those every day and not neglect it. And Father, you know, help us. I know when I look back at my own life, you know, it's easy to look back and say, well, I wish I'd have done this differently. But Father, help us starting today not to be discouraged, but to trust in You, to lean into the church, and to pray that You would work in our children's lives and to save them. In Jesus' name, amen.